In the desert, oasis where stories ignite. Skip's little bar, a beacon of light. From the Coachella Valley stars to cool everyday Joes, join Patrick and Randy, let the stories flow. At Big Conversations Little Bar, the magic spreads near and far. Backed by the McCallum Theater's grace, celebrate the voices that shape this place.
From the coveted corner booth in a little bar at the center of the Coachella Valley universe, welcome to another Big Conversation with Patrick Evans and Randy Florence, presented by the McCallum Theater. Visit McCallumTheater.org or reach the box office at 760-340-2787. Gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Howard. We are back here at the very coveted corner booth at Skip Page's Little Bar in Palm Desert, California. My name is Patrick Evans, and this is Big Conversations Little Bar with my co-host, Randy Florence. Randy, my spiritual guru.
Randy Florence.
And caretaker to your lovely wife,
yes,
Kay.
Yes. Well, she's been caretaking for me for 43 years, so I figured it was time for me to pay her back.
I'll give her 2 weeks.
That wasn't quite that. Surgery was only 8 days ago.
So. Oh, okay. So,
wow. I'm done.
Wait, you're almost washing your hands of that?
Well, we found out today that I don't have to get up every 3 hours to refill the ice machine. So I was very happy about that.
She just comes off shoulder replacement surgery, and you're taking her rowing next week. That's what I heard.
Well, I can't do it. I can sit in the boat.
Our best to Kay for a speedy recovery. What else is new?
The weather was slightly better today as we record this. Thank you for that.
We've running up the end of June on a really nice below average note. We want to give a shout out to the McCallum Theater, our presenting sponsor. Be sure to get your tickets for the upcoming season. It is going to be bigger and better than ever. And we're looking forward to having Yvonne Bell, the new CEO. She's going to be joining us on Big Conversations Little Bar soon. But I'm excited to welcome our guest today, who is the executive director of CVAG, Mr. Tom Kirk, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Sorry, this is the end of your career.
I know you thought it was going better than this, but yeah, here you are. Welcome.
It's certainly a bad sign.
We just can't believe we keep talking people into doing it, knowing what's going to happen.
Well, it's a sure sign. Whenever a guest so easily says yes, like they've never listened.
That's when you should tell them they're not invited.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Okay, you haven't heard any of the other episodes. So we appreciate it. I know that your schedule is busy, although I'm curious, so many things in this valley are so seasonal, but is your work kind of ebb and flow when summer comes around? Do you get to take a deep breath and relax a little bit?
We do, but as a government employee, I'm paid to tell everybody it's busy all the time.
Busy all the time, yeah. Absolutely.
But it actually is a lot easier in the summer. We don't have quite as many meetings. It's a good time to get out of the desert, as we all know. And it's vacation time for a lot of our staff.
Does it give you time to get ahead of anything for the next year, or do you just resting up for the summer?
You're giving me more credit than I deserve. No, we're generally catching up.
Catching up. Playing catch up. Several years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For people who are not aware, I think that's probably some, tell people what CVAG is and does and how you guys function.
Yeah, you're being polite when you say
we're going to be the whole time.
Some people may not know what CVAG is. Most people don't know what it is, and I oftentimes have a hard time explaining what it is, which may be a good sign or a bad one. It's a regional government made up of the cities of the Coachella Valley, all of them, even the city of Blythe, way out on the border with Arizona, 4 Indian tribes out here, and the county of Riverside. The agency's been around for 50 years, and it's done a variety of things. What we do today is a lot of transportation work, some energy work, some homeless work, and we have 2-3 allied agencies that operate under our umbrella. One focuses only on land conservation, habitat conservation. Another on buying and selling carbon-free electricity for the city of Palm Springs. And another focused on IID electric distribution issues right now.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about IID. I just got my bill yesterday, so we'll discuss that.
Yeah, you want to compare bills?
No,
you want to compare
maybe in a
bills?
Few months.
Yeah.
Hey, so let's go back to 50 years ago, as this valley was being put together, and you know there were people like Dick Oliphant and stuff who were coming up with unique ways to help build the valley. What put CBAG together? Was it just an understanding that all of these cities needed to come together in order to build services and such?
What brings most people or organizations together?
Need.
A good enemy.
A good enemy. There we go.
Yeah. Or a bad enemy.
Speaking of IID.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And you know what that enemy was at the time was something called an oil refinery that would have been built in the Banning Pass.
Just
upwind.
I've never heard that story.
Oh, wow.
Good thing there's no wind up there.
Yeah, exactly. So you put something like that, and our tourist industry, understandably, came unglued. And 50 years ago, they formed something called the Regional Anti-Pollution Agency, RAPA.
Okay.
That became CBAG just a year or two later.
Wow.
And at that time, Well, 50 years ago, some of these cities weren't even incorporated yet.
Half of them weren't.
So, but did, as they were incorporated, did everybody participate? Everybody had a seat at the table?
Yeah, yes. They all participated.
Even Indian Wells and Rancho Mirage.
Yeah, even Indian Wells and Rancho Mirage. And,
and we were going to give them like 15 minutes
Let's go right into that.
They are our best partners in many ways today. And what I can share with you is even if members are participating, they still at times may not like what we do on a program. But I could say, at least as long as I've been around, the members have never thought about leaving the organization. I think they've all seen value in the organization and the things that we do.
Well, Randy, I know that you view it as a step to your vision of the future of the Coachella Valley, where we eliminate all of the cities. And we just come under one big umbrella.
There needs to be at least three cities.
Three cities.
We just need substantially fewer city managers.
That is...
So right, Tom?
You guys started by saying this could be the end of my career.
My career is over, so I can say these
things.
And
of course, I am fully supportive of local control and all of my friends that are the city managers out here. And we're not going to get rid of cities anytime soon, anywhere in the state of California.
I wrote something in the Sun, and a week later I got a number of phone calls talking about my position on that.
Yeah, and what may be efficient may not always be best. And so, Randy, you and I might share an efficiency streak. Now, does it make sense to have this many city managers, this many regional executive directors, or whatever it might be? Yeah, maybe not. But then again, we also believe in something called local control and having a close connection to your elected officials. And the bigger an organization gets, the less of that connection there is.
Yeah,
I love that quote. What may be efficient may not always be best. I love that quote. That's a great quote. By the way, that's Randy's position. I think we should have a couple of more cities.
Evansville.
Yeah. And which ones do you want to split up?
Indian and Wells.
And Rancho and Mirage. They can
yeah,
be
there
two
you
places.
Go. Hey, this is working out.
It is. We got a plan. We got two more city managers to hire.
The question really is, what would a Mirage look like?
Oh. That's our most philosophical guest.
That really was.
Date.
That was something else.
That must be like herding cats a lot of the time when you guys decide on a policy initiative. Because obviously, let's just jump right to CV Link. Here's, which I think in recent memory was the most controversial, if you can call it that, program. When there are policy differences between your member organizations, it's got to be, and it's a tough job for you to manage all of that and get everybody pointed in the same direction. And not everybody always does.
Yeah,
Tom's nodding. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. he's thinking about this.
And I'm thinking. Another saying that's certainly not mine is, "The enemy of the good is the perfect." And if you strive for perfection, you may not get anything done ever. you know, does 100% to do it. Does everybody have to agree with what you're doing? If they do, you're never going to get something accomplished in public policy. So, are most of our decisions unanimous at CVAG? Actually, they are. Most of our programs are full support. CVLink certainly was an exception. And we could talk more about that. I've got some news to pass along to you about something called CVSync. And CVSync is our regional traffic signal synchronization program.
Getting the lights
aligned. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's kind of a nerdy thing, you know. And I get excited about it because, of course, I'm nerdy. But the notion, you know, to kind of Randy's point about things would be more efficient with one or two or three cities, they certainly would be with respect to signals. As we drive down Highway 111, we go through eight cities in a very short distance. And in those eight cities, there are even different programs in those individual cities. Does that make sense as we're driving along to waste another 15 or 20 minutes on that drive? And it doesn't. And we started this program a few years ago. We now have three major corridors in the Coachella Valley completely wired. We'll have another 21 finished by the end of the calendar year. And one city was out, the city of Rancho Mirage. And there were technical reasons, not just, or maybe not at all, political ones. And that city voted last week to come into the program.
Wow. Oh, that's great.
And that'll be approved by CVAG, hopefully, on Monday. So about the time this airs, it'll be about
that's
the same
really
time
good news.
That's
this
great
all
happens.
News. And if it doesn't happen as I predict it will, this could be my last week on the job.
Well, it doesn't air for 3 weeks. So you've got at least 4 weeks on the job.
You know, to beg you to...
Yeah, that's right.
Edit that. That, I think, is, you know, people may not understand how important that is, but from a time-saving standpoint, it's really important, but also from an environmental standpoint. If you can cut down transit time, you're saving on gas, you're reducing your greenhouse output. So it's really a broad-reaching thing. It sounds simple.
It is simple in some ways. But it is one of the most frustrating projects in so many ways. And by the way, no other place in the nation, as far as I know, links their signals across city boundaries. Now, they'll tell you that there are regional traffic management centers. You go in there and say, well, can you adjust your neighbor's signals? They'll say, no, but we can look at them. What we are doing here is absolutely groundbreaking.
We're doing it.
We are doing it. And it's we focus, and, you know, Patrick and Randy, you both know, news, it's not news when everybody's cooperating. It really isn't.
No, that's we also don't report on all the planes that land safely.
Yeah, exactly. And in 1 year recently, they all did.
Yes.
Every commercial plane.
For 15 years.
For no fatalities in 1 year. It was absolutely amazing. Worldwide. Amazing. But that's not, you know, that's not terribly
it's not
interesting.
News.
Yeah, so... what we do here may not be news when we cooperate. It is news when we don't, and it's understandable. The cooperation is kind of boring.
Well, yes. It doesn't make for great television. It certainly doesn't make for great newspaper columns and that sort of thing. But, you know, you guys have quietly been doing some really terrific work. Talk a little bit about the energy initiative, the clean energy initiative, because that program is relatively new. Tell people how that works and how you guys are working on managing to reduce carbon emissions.
Yeah, there are two energy-related programs. One newer, in fact, started 2 weeks ago. The other new, and that started a few years ago with the city of Palm Springs. And in the city of Palm Springs, they made a commitment to bring in as much 100% carbon-free electricity as possible. Full support of that city council. They continue to be supportive of it. And in Palm Springs, residents have a choice. They could stick with Edison. They could work with Desert Community Energy. And if you work with Desert Community Energy, you're paying a premium.
Yeah.
You're paying a premium for 100% carbon free. But the great thing about the program is we actually offer another dirtier energy source that's slightly less than Edison. And while Randy seems to want to complain about his IID bill.
I'm just complaining.
Edison bills are twice as high.
Yeah.
Come over to my house sometime. It is just off the charts expenses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I live in an SE neighborhood, and we put solar on the house, and it's still expensive.
Yeah.
Like what I pay my true up bill is pretty crazy.
It doesn't make sense for us to add solar.
No, your rates are too
with
low.
IID.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I want to do it to help all of you.
Oh, your rates
too expensive
are so
to help
low
you.
That doesn't make sense. Oh, we feel sorry for you.
This turned quickly. Yeah. Well, see?
You brought up CB Link, and now look what's happened.
I did. One thing that really irritated me of recent
good,
about
moving over
solar in the state, this is a state level, we at a state level allowed the utilities to reduce their compensation to rooftop solar. If we're really serious about solar, and we should be increasing that compensation and making the compensation that you get from your utility company market compensation. And I'm so, you know,
and you
the governor
give me
had a
money
big part in that.
For giving my electricity back to you.
What?
SCE. When I was in Idlewild, our solar would roll back into the grid.
Right.
And we'd get, my solar bill was like $3 a month.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. But it was actually, I think now 2 years ago, the state reduced that compensation.
Because right. They decided we were making
too much energy and making too much money off of it.
Right.
So I'm irritated by that. So can CVAG tackle that?
Well, no. and I'll tell you, there's another side to it. And I'm on your side. I'm irritated by it too. And global warming is real, and it's an issue. And the other side of it is when we were paying Randy for solar in Idlewild, who was picking up the cost of that? Were the other customers. So there's a cross subsidy. As much as it's a great idea, you're paying generally wealthier people who could afford to put solar up
right.
a subsidy for that electricity that then is spread around the other ratepayers.
Yeah,
it's complex.
It is very complex, but as long as I'm the one who can afford solar, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Patrick's the Rancho Mirage of the podcast. So,
we are in this selfish corner of the bar.
That's right over here.
Yeah.
Can I go? You said something that fascinated me, and that was the birth of CBAG, under the original name, and it was put together for one purpose: to stop this oil refinery.
And obviously it worked because there's no refinery.
There's no refinery there. So, but now we've got all these brain cancer causing windmills up there. So,
they're killing the birds.
Here we go.
You know they're killing the birds.
Here we go.
Something else for me to bitch about. Anyway, what happened next? They were so successful that they decided to expand?
Yeah, and I'm no historian. I gather they were successful. And yeah, they got by with a staff person and a grant here and there. And for 10 years, maybe 20 years, they were basically a organization that convened people. They had meetings, and you think, oh, that's nice. They didn't get much accomplished. You got to remember at the time, in the 70s and 80s, you couldn't Zoom meetings. In the Coachella Valley, if you were from Indio or Coachella, that was Mars or Venus,
yeah,
or maybe more like Jupiter to those in Palm Springs. And so it did serve as an opportunity to work on issues together. In fact, energy was on their plate and advocating to the PUC for certain desert-related rates. That was a big deal. It wasn't really until 1989 that we became a lot more than that. And we started our transportation program, where CVAG really does set the financial stage and the priority setting stage for every major transportation project in the Coachella Valley.
Yeah. The project with the lights and getting those all synced up. I talked to somebody who was kind of one of the people who built the valley, lived in Palm Springs, had to drive to Indio. And I would say, how long did it take? No street lights. On 111 between, how long did it take you? 45 minutes. Today, it takes me 45 minutes. So what's going to be the result of when you finish this program? cut me down to 10 minutes from Palm Springs to La Quinta?
Well, because of all that complaining you're doing, we're going to keep
right around my house.
We're going to keep an eye on your car and slow you down.
We can put a transponder on your car that turns the lights red.
Just use the one Kay's got on
there. There you go.
She's got a tag on me.
We actually measure. We do before and after. And we did it on Ramon Road. We've done it on Highway 111 in Washington. Those are the three corridors that are currently operational. And we save about 15 to 20%. And that's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
It's a big deal.
You guys did a fabulous job on Ramon. Awesome. I live in Cathedral City. I often go to Palm Springs. And it is wonderful. And I have noticed a major difference.
You know, the challenge is when Indian and Gene Autry are closed because of sand, flooding, whatever.
Nature.
Everybody is on Ramon.
Yes.
And there's nothing, signals or anything else are going to do to make that much better. But I appreciate that you sense that difference. It really does make a difference in flowing, making that traffic flow. And now that we have almost 21 other corridors, it'll make all of the other major arterials work better too. In addition to all of that, for anybody that attended the tennis tournament, it's a little easier for us when we live here. We actually manage the traffic going in and out of the tennis tournament this year and last year. We didn't have Fred Waring completely hooked up, but we will next year. And I'm told that there is not a single complaint about traffic.
I live right over
getting
there.
Getting into the tennis tournament this year.
Well, that's remarkable.
It was amazing.
It is remarkable. And our CV Sync team is absolutely amazing. They work extra hours to make that happen. In addition to that, we put a command center at Coachella this year. On site, work with the team. We hadn't hooked up all the signals yet, but they'll be ready all next year. It was a dry run, and we're going to make it easier to get in and out of Coachella and Stagecoach next year.
There you go. You're going back.
Probably not. but I had a great time the 20 minutes that I was there.
You were so high when you got off the bus.
I was on the bus longer than I was at the event.
That's because it was a double-decker bus.
No, that's true. He was sitting on top.
That's right.
It all rises.
That's one great initiative. Obviously, the power. You said we have two power initiatives.
Yeah. The other is, you might have heard about power issues in the IID service territory. They're not issues of how much you pay. They're the issues of, can we accommodate new growth in the Imperial Irrigation District?
That's been a big issue because it's stalling new construction.
In La Quinta, it made a big deal about a new project that they approved at 50th and Washington because the developer agreed to firm up the substation over in that area.
And these substations are $25 or $30 million. It's not an easy thing for even the biggest of developers to pony up right away. What we're doing there is working with at least two cities in the county. So Indio, La Quinta, and the county have formed a Coachella Valley Power Authority that is working with IID on solutions to that. Many of the solutions are already underway. I think India has taken some great steps to order some of the equipment necessary for new substations. And together, we're going to solve that problem. And if we're sitting here another year or two, if I still have my job then, I hope to report on some of the solutions that are implemented or will soon be implemented.
What are you most excited about what you've accomplished in your time at CBAG?
Well, I've been there for 15 years, and there's no I, of course. It's we, and there's a lot of political support I've had over the years, and I've got a great team working for me. Maybe the best I've ever had.
It's a really good team.
And I've complained about staffing every once in a while. That's not the case today. It's been great to recruit people. It's great to have them on board. We've got just a really top-notch team. CV Link, I'm certainly proud of that. We've had our challenges. It's been a long time coming, but it is one of the largest such systems in the nation. It's one thing to convert an old railroad in south central Iowa that hasn't been used in 100 years to a bike path.
Yeah.
It's another to take a project like this that goes through six cities, three Indian tribes, under Union Pacific Railroad, which is maybe the most challenging thing of all, and pull that off and have outside money pay for almost all of it.
Yeah. And the manner in which you did that, the different types of grants and stuff with the different umbrellas that you secured those grants on, was pretty, the thought process behind that was pretty extreme. You guys went out and found things that were related, health related, out in the East Valley and such like that.
Yeah, Randy, you do remember. Good. And you're right. And to give a shout out to Desert Healthcare District, they put in $10 million. Give a shout out to South Coast Air Quality Management District, they put $17 million. Give a shout out to the state of California, they put close to $20 million into this. So it's been a lot of sources that generally wouldn't be investing in a bike project or pedestrian project. In this case, as the two of you know, it also accommodates electric vehicles. And maybe a little aside about that, when I first proposed CV Link, I actually insisted it include electric vehicles. They were called golf carts
golf
at the
carts,
time.
Yes. Yeah.
And our first opponents to CV Link weren't in the city of Rancho Mirage. They were bicyclists who did not want to have electric vehicles on CV Link, these damn golf carts.
And now they're all driving e-bikes.
Now they're all driving. Maybe not those bicyclists.
Right.
But every bike I see these days is an e-bike, or at least a good 50% of them.
Yeah.
And today there's a recognition that a project like this can accommodate all sorts of folks. Those that are in the Lycra that can go 50 miles, and that's not me. Right. And also those that are recreational bikers or kids or the disabled that might need a little help along the way.
The changes, let me ask you if you've noticed changes. The first meeting I was ever at where I saw you, I think I've told you this story. You were doing a presentation early on CV Link to the Palm Desert Board of Realtors. And it was all around CV Link and what it could do to the for the health of this community and the young children and stuff. And just about the time you were starting the presentation, somebody opened the door to bring in breakfast, and it was basically about 50 pounds of Big Macs and Egg McMuffins and stuff like that. And the look on your face was, you were kind of horrified at them. You even made a comment about it. But I mean, that's really the way people weren't tying all of that stuff together at that time. Do you see it different today, that the community has more of an understanding of what it represents than more than just a long bike path?
You're probably giving me too much credit for being aware. It's never been suggested that I have self-awareness or any awareness at all. I have been divorced twice, so that's usually one of the things that they mention. And I can't say that, Randy. Do people see those links more than ever today? I'm sure they do. I've been just so busy trying to build the damn thing.
Just pushing straight ahead.
I haven't been paying much attention to what people think about it lately.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue this. We're going to take a quick pause to say thank you to our presenting sponsor, the McCallum Theater, getting geared up for another incredible season. The calendar is out. You can go to McCallumTheater.org to get all of the latest information to buy your season tickets. The good stuff, you know, it always goes quick, but they have some really incredible shows, and we are looking forward to continuing our partnership with the McCallum Theater.
At the McCallum Theater, we believe in placing arts at the heart of learning. Since 97, our education department has inspired nearly 1 million students and community members through dynamic performances and immersive arts education programs. From the Palm Desert Choreography Festival to our Open Call Talent Project, we provide powerful platforms for emerging artists. Experience how the arts contribute to personal growth and enlightened citizenship. Your entertainment, your theater, the McCallum Theater. Learn more at McCallumTheater.org.
Okay, and we're back with Tom Kirk, the head of CVAG, and let's, it was controversial, and there was a big blow up over in you know, two cities in particular, Rancho Mirage and Indian Wells, did not want to play ball with the CV Link. I was working in the news department, but remember, I do weather and eye on the desert, so I tell good news story. I didn't get too in the weeds on that, but their objections were about routing, and I understand some of the objections were about long-term maintenance on the routes through particular cities where they thought they would be responsible, and we didn't know what that number looked like. Am I right on that? Am I close?
Yeah, that was one of the concerns. I just also shocked that you say that you do the weather, and that's always good news.
Yeah, I bet you catch that every week.
I'm not
but now
sure.
You're here. What are the two things I complain about? The heat and the speed people drive on these roads. But I'll talk about that in a moment.
He's responsible for increasing the speed.
Yes, I know.
Yell at him.
No.
Randy's always mad that people come up Monterey. You know, and the speed limit is 55 on Monterey.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah,
like, they were driving 55. I'm like,
when I got my license, I had to drive 55 on every freeway in this country.
Yeah, well,
and now I can do that on Jefferson.
Thank goodness we fixed that.
And Patrick, you're right. Folks raised all sorts of issues. I'm not sure those were really the issues. The issues didn't come from the poorest cities. The poorest cities
were country club issues.
I think there were a lot of country club issues, and there are legitimate ones. If you look into Rancho Mirage, we have country clubs in the wash. Were we going to go through those country clubs? We weren't. We're going to go around them, but maybe that was even a little too close. We had a complaint from one source that we were going to have CV Link vehicles vibrate the observatory in Rancho Mirage, even though the observatory sits along Highway 111, and there are certainly heavier vehicles going along that. I heard everything, and that said, there's certainly, you know, we're going to have this, and there's actually going to be crime out there. There's sometimes, you know, crime next door to this place. There's that could happen anywhere. Somebody's going to get hurt out there. Bad things will happen, but I'm confident that a lot more good things will happen. People will get out, be healthy, and it sure is a lot safer to fall on your bike on CB Lake than to be run over on Monterey. Right, Randy?
Absolutely.
55-mile-an-hour speeders.
Those people are crazy.
Nobody needs
Monterey
to drive that fast. So for people who may not know totally, give us just a quick overview of CB Lake, what it's going to be look like when it's done, and why it was important to put it out.
And how you solve those routing issues from the cities that didn't want to play ball.
Yeah, you moved to La Quinta.
Well,
that's what I did. You moved to Cathedral City.
The CV Link is 42 miles long. So again, it's one of the largest networks of its kind in the nation. It's one of the nicest too. If you get out there, you'll see undercrossings, you'll see some bridges.
The undercrossings around Riverside and Mesquite in Palm Springs, really nice and freshly completed. I was just biking on that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and there are a lot more and longer undercrossings in the eastern part of the Coachella Valley. 42 miles long, extends from Airport Boulevard at the south end of Coachella to Washington Street in La Quinta. Includes Palm Desert from Bump and Grind to the Palm Desert High School now. We'll extend a little further in the future. And then all of Cathedral City in the Wash. And it takes two routes in Palm Springs, one along the Whitewater River, another through the Tockwitz Creek Channel into the downtown area. And it's a funny thing. Again, Patrick, I can't blame you or anybody else. The first question I get to anybody that knows anything about CB Link is, well, there are two gaps. What are you going to do about it? I don't know about you, but I've never ridden a bike 50 miles in my life. And most of us ride a bike 2 or 3 miles. And if we could accommodate the 95% of the folks that ride 2 or 3 or 4 miles, awesome. For those that want to go from point A, either in Coachella or reverse it in Palm Springs, and go to the other end of CB Link, yeah, you're going to have to get out on the street at times in Rancho Mirage and and Indian Wells. And I can tell you both of those cities, and they'll know that this is true, have made investments in improving bike safety in both of those cities. Are they in CV Link? No, but they are making improvements to make it a little bit safer to run through those cities.
That's a shift.
Yeah. And Indian Wells just got a number of major grants to do some work on Cook Street and Highway 111. So it's a big deal.
That's can we learn news. A little bit more about Tom?
Well,
asking you?
Ask Tom.
Where are you from, Tom?
Los Angeles and Orange County.
Born in Los Angeles?
Born in Inglewood.
Okay.
And lived in L.A. and Orange County for most of my childhood, and spent a little time in the Bay Area and
What in your childhood is now putting you in a position of building 42 miles of CB Link? Where'd that come from?
Yeah, I don't know, Randy. I've never been asked that. What I could tell you is my dad was a gardener, not a landscape architect. And my dad's dad was a gardener,
really?
not a landscape architect.
And were they in SoCal?
Yeah, they were in Orange County, or L.A. and Orange County, and I spent every summer, working as a gardener. And the fact of, getting something done, even if it's mowing grass, is rewarding to me.
It means something.
And this might sound like a gender thing, only because it is. We need to be put to work. Men need to be put to work to feel, fulfilled. And even if it's a temporary getting something done. And for me, a CV link or signal synchronization or a homeless program or buying and selling electricity is getting shit done. And so it's rewarding. So maybe that's the link and comes from a work ethic from my family.
When you took your master or got your master's, it was kind of prescient and it was on things that were going to end up being serving you at CBAG. Was that intentional?
No, but I like to use the word intentional because I can tell you an intentional story about CBAG. I did work in the private sector for 10 years out of college.
What kind of work?
Working for land use development, land developers and cities and counties, but as a private consultant. And decided to go back to school because I thought I needed a degree. Not sure I did. But I got a degree up at a place in Northern California. And coming out of that, I thought, what am I going to do next? And there was a job opportunity here. And I'll call this CVAG 1. I worked at CVAG 1 year and then went off and did other things in the Coachella Valley. And then I came back.
And had you been coming to the Valley? Were you familiar with it?
I knew the Valley.
Okay.
My parents brought us out here every summer. And I just assumed as a kid that Coachella Valley was always Patrick's favorite temperature,
180.
105.
180 degrees. But that's what they could afford. So that's what I knew.
Right.
So I certainly knew the Coachella Valley. And there's a job opportunity at CVAG working for somebody called Corky Larson. And I looked into it, thought, I know a little bit about CVAG because it had already been doing really good stuff. And this region had been working well together. Maybe I'll take that job. So if I was offered it, went to the interview, and this story is about intention and serendipity. On the intention front, I went into that job, and a couple of our elected officials, in fact, John Pena was on my interview panel 25 years ago or whatever it was, 28 years ago.
And this was before you became
a Laquita City Council person. Long ago. A much younger man. And I was asked what used to be a standard interview question. What do you see yourself doing in 5 or 10 years? We don't ask that anymore because we don't know what we're going to be doing in 5 months.
Right.
Or whether AI is taking us over or whatever it is. And I had the audacity to say, and I shouldn't have, Corky, I want your job. I didn't say it in a way that I'm going to take her job, but eventually I want to run this organization. When they asked me, what do I want to do in 10 years? I want to run CVAG. The serendipitous part, and I'll finish that part of the story in a second, was I left that interview, and it was August. And for those of us that came here from somewhere else, we swear when we first got here, that summer was the hottest summer ever.
Ever.
Until this one.
Yeah, until this one. And I think mine was. It was 120 million degrees.
Oh, my God.
120
gosh.
Something. And I left that interview in late August. And our office was in the Palm Desert Civic Center where the big park is. And I drove around in the parking lot. And I swear, behind the parking lot, behind the tennis courts, I swore that I saw somebody playing volleyball, sand volleyball, afternoon, 3 p.m., 120-something. So I walk out there in my suit, and sure enough, there are three guys trying to play sand volleyball, but their fourth didn't show up.
They were dead on the side of the road.
I walk back out to the car, take my bathing suit out, put it on, because I always had it, walk out, and play sand volleyball with these guys. And this, so the serendipitous part is I figured, you know, if I get offered this job and people are willing to be active in 120-some degrees, I'll accept the job. Back to the intentional part, I worked at CBAG for a year, went on to work for the Solvency Authority, where I fixed the solvency.
Yeah, we're going to ask about that.
And for...
It's 100% fixed.
For land developers, went to the Laquita City Council. 10 years had passed. The job opens up at CBAG. I was highly qualified to run the organization, but my colleagues, elected officials, didn't know that. I get to the final interview with Roy Wilson, and other elected officials, and they say, why do you want to do this? I said, 10 years ago, I came here to do this.
Wow.
So being here is part intention and part serendipity. Had those guys not been playing sand volleyball, I may not have accepted the position.
Are you a believer in that kind of stuff with your whole life, or was it just that one time?
No, I'm not a believer in it. I'm not. I'm a believer generally in intention. I don't think there's, you know, something shines down on us and things happen for a reason. I think it's intention and sometimes...
But you notice.
Sometimes luck and sometimes bad luck. Yeah.
So you fixed the salt and sea, which makes me wonder how bad it really was, because it still seems kind of bad.
Something's wrong with my equipment here. No, can you guys can't hear me? Sorry, I can't hear you anymore.
So where are we really? There's a whole bunch of money that's being spent.
That's the biggest hard luck case going.
Yeah, maybe so.
It seems like it's a solvable problem, but will we ever raise enough money to solve the problem?
Yeah, no, solvable problem. It's also... you know, what are folks' expectations and understanding of what the problem is a big part of the challenge there. Improvements have been made to address...
There's a project going on right now that seems to be having some positive effects.
Yeah, and I'm no expert on the subject, not connected to the project. Should get, you know, Patrick O'Dowd here at some point. He's running the Salt and Sea Authority now, and the state is very actively involved in addressing some of the air quality issues as well as providing habitat. When I was running it, this was the time when, you know, Sonny Bono was alive and just died. It's a time when I flew around with Newt Gingrich and Ken Calvert and congressional delegation and Mary Bono, of course, and looked at the Salt and Sea, and there's a lot of interest and activity. We did solve some problems with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and a lot of researchers. We had major bird disease problems out there that we got ahead of and did address. So that was a big accomplishment at the time.
Yes.
So as an unrelated, unassociated citizen of the Valley, do you think that we should expect it's going to continue, air quality is going to continue to get worse, or do you think that there's a possibility that we might be able to turn a corner?
The air quality issue is something I'm very engaged in right now. And the air quality problem we've had in the last 2 years is not salt and sea related.
No, it's Hurricane Hillary related.
Hell yes.
And Patrick did that.
Yeah, well.
No, but I did predict when it would get here and how hard it would hit. So.
And you sat right in the middle of it on the freeway when it did.
I did. And you both, if you're both here when it hit, it sounds like, Patrick, you were. You might remember all that mud that came down Mission Creek. And there was 13 inches of rain in 12 hours in Upper Mission Creek. We had never expected that. Interstate 10 closed, and a lot of mud was deposited. That mud happens to have been deposited at the windiest point in the Coachella Valley. It dries up, and you might remember the days right after the hurricane, tropical storm, we had the worst air quality we've ever seen. And that never happens in September or October here. Usually it's a pretty good month for air quality. We don't have a lot of wind. But that really fine dust.
That was one of the big issues, because what got picked up by all of that rain was the lightest of the particulate matter, and that's what settled at the surface.
just by the way Mother Nature works. And as all of that water evaporated, the lightest silt was left at the top of at the very surface. And,
yes.
And we're still suffering from that now.
In my opinion, we are. We have a little bit of a dispute with our South Coast Air Quality Management District. And this has been an ongoing thing. They swear that air quality is normal, that our conditions last 2 years are normal and similar to the ones before Tropical Storm Hillary.
Have they always been idiots, or is this something new?
I don't get it. Yeah. I really don't. I look at their data, spend a lot of time with this. I know Supervisor Perez is on top of this. He's on the South Coast Air Quality Management District Board. And I've just got to believe that, you know, having 1,000 PhDs, but they're sitting in Diamond Bar, doesn't replace our own eyes and lungs. We are having an air quality problem.
We are 100% are having an air quality problem. I see that, you know, when we're talking about, it used to be the threshold for legitimate blowing sand and dust that would potentially shut down one of the wash roads. That wind threshold was much higher. It's much lower today because, again, the weight of the matter that is sitting at the surface is much lighter. So it takes a 15 mile to 20 mile per hour wind to shut down Gene Autry.
Yes.
So there is a big issue.
There is a huge issue.
And I don't.
But at least people are driving slower.
They're not driving at all when it gets closed, Randy. And I think, you know, one of the big issues with the Air Quality Management District is that the level of data I think they're getting is not particularly great, because they don't have, they're not getting good, solid, comprehensive data because they don't have a really solid, comprehensive sensor system out here.
I don't agree with that. The data they have, in my opinion, I look at that data, and I'm not a complete idiot, I see a major difference. In fact, on Friday and Saturday, you could go on to AQ Now, Air Quality Now. Mm-hmm. Right. On Friday and Saturday, we had the worst air quality in the nation. In the nation.
I talk to you about that all the time. You live right in the middle of it.
The nation. That data is from South Coast Air Quality Management District. It's uploaded to EPA's site. That didn't happen 3 years ago. We never had the worst air quality in the nation.
In your opinion.
You're exactly correct. But I think they could have a stronger sensor network and a better data network. They may be interpolating the data not very well.
Yeah. You know, Patrick, to give them a little bit of credit, now you can probably sense I've got major differences of opinion with South Coast. They did put another monitor out. It's in Cathedral City. And guess what? That monitor demonstrates it. We have a major problem here. It's off the charts.
Is it political? Are we stepchildren?
I don't get it. I've never seen a regulatory agency that shies away from being a regulatory agency.
To be able to do it, yeah.
Well, but have you been to Diamond Bar?
I have.
I mean, is it great? It's not great. Anyway, apologies to our listeners in Diamond Bar. Yeah,
both of them.
So, I know that this has been something that's occupied a lot of your time of recent. And are you getting closer to...
Yes, it's occupied my time. And we did take steps. Right after the storm, contacted South Coast. They said, don't worry. Yeah, the rain will come and that we won't have an issue. They do not believe that mud, that fine sediment that you and I know is the cause of the problem. They do not believe that is the cause of any problem, because there's not a problem. What we did is contacted Caltrans, worked with Cathedral City and Palm Springs, and applied that green soil stabilizer everywhere we possibly could. Where we can't is in some of the conservation areas in the bottom of the wash.
Right.
Unfortunately
is one primary source of the problem.
It's a huge source of the problem. And could we do it? Maybe if our air district told other agencies that we had a problem. So we're in this weird feedback loop where the air district doesn't believe there's a problem. And if there was, it's not the mud in the wash.
And do we need them to realize it for there to be improvement?
To get authorization to do some of the things they want to do, yes.
I believe we do. Perhaps you can go over their head. I know some have suggested going to EPA. Go to EPA right now and say, go regulate California. I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Speaking of which, are you having any funding issues?
No, we're not. And again, as a government employee, I'm supposed to say, yes, we need more money. We have funding to get everything we need to do today. Tomorrow is another matter. And the biggest challenge right now is on transportation. For any of you that might be listening in Indio, you know that Monroe Interchange and Jackson Interchange and Coachella Avenue 50 Interchange need to be built and improved. And there are lots of other projects. Those are some of the biggest. Our challenge is we just don't have the money. And there's some state and there's some federal infrastructure dollars that periodically come in. They always get washed through the state of California. And the state of California does not like projects that allow people to drive more. And as you've heard, I certainly believe in global warming. I also know in this valley, not everybody's going to use CV Link or the bus to get from point A to point B. It's just not practical, and it's certainly not during the summer. So we need that funding to come into projects like Monroe and Jackson and Avenue 50, and state policy is really against it. And even if it wasn't against it, there's not a lot of money out there.
Yeah.
So right now, we're doing fine. We might have one small program that may be lost related to planting trees, curiously. But all in all, our funding streams are not tied to the federal administration.
What's the long-term plan for Varner Road?
Varner Road, for those that may not know where it is, it's just on the north side of the freeway, and it's parallel to the freeway from essentially Palm Drive and Desert Hot Springs to, we'll call it, towards Dillon Road. You can kind of work your way around in Indio. We are currently in design on Varner Road to both put in the signals that'll help Arkershire and everything else in that area, and also look at improvements to at least the intersections, if not building of two lane in each direction, major roadway. And while we do this, because I know Randy's going to suggest it, we're looking at it being a alternate route for I-10. When Hillary hit and Patrick and I were stuck on I-10, you could look over to Varner Road and see all the truck traffic was routed there, but they were routed onto one lane, even though nobody was coming in the other direction. So we could turn Varner into an alternate emergency access route, and we're working with the county and Caltrans to a lesser extent to do that.
Yeah. That would be great news. I'd like to be able to get in and out of Acrisure a little bit easier.
that's your issue.
Priorities, right? Yeah, priorities.
And IID rates. If you could just handle those things.
This is the selfish corner of the bar.
It is. In the interest of, I know that you have to get out of here, we're going to wrap up, but this is one of those where I feel like we just barely scratched the tip of the iceberg.
There's so many more things I have to complain about.
Tom, thank you very much.
I appreciate
you coming on and being candid with us, and it's been very enlightening for me, and I know that you're going to continue working on the air quality issue. John White did a fairly lengthy report about that, and it's something that we need to follow up on as well. I think a little media shedding the light on the issue will help your cause.
It sure would.
So,
gentlemen,
this has been fun.
Thank you so much, Randy. Great seeing you again, Patrick.
Thank you for the work you're doing on behalf of the Valley.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And once again, our thanks to the McCallum Theater, our presenting sponsor. Randy, you're fabulous. Your research is unparalleled.
I did virtually none. He led me into almost every good topic I wanted to bring up.
There you go. That's why we should have him back as a guest.
Or give him my check.
It's one of those checks. It's so small he wouldn't even bother cashing. Our thanks to Skip Page and his team here at Little Bar for taking good care of us, as they always do. And John McMullen, our producer, for doing all the hard work behind the scenes. And thank you all for listening. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode of Big Conversations Little Bar, available at all of your favorite podcast platforms.
Meet your neighbors, fascinating and grand. Each conversation a wave on the sand. Raise your glass and join the ride, where stories and dreams fully collide. At Big Conversations Little Bar, brought to you by McCallum, our guiding star. Captivating more.
Mark and Randy, tales retold.